right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter number 16. And once you've found your place, if you'll turn to Romans 16. Romans 16, and once you found your place, if you'll stand, please. Verse 17, please. Paul writes to the church at Rome in this final chapter of this incredible epistle. Now, so present tense, right now, I beseech you, so the church at Rome, I beseech you, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For, so we're going to get some reasons now. For, they that are such serve, notice please, not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their carnal appetites, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet, contrast, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are going to study your word this morning. We are going to be engaged by truth this morning. We are going to exalt and lift up Jesus. We're going to do our very best to figure out how this text applies to us and to this church. We're going to do that under the leadership and hopefully the guidance and direction and filling of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Please notice three conjunctions. Now is the beginning of the admonishment. Now I beseech you. Notice verse 18, the word for. Notice verse 19, the word for. Verse number 20, the word and. This helps me understand that I've got a complete thought right here that begins in verse number 17 and culminates with the word amen in verse number 20. I need to look at it as a text. I need to look at it as a group. I need to preach through these verses, beginning with this word beseech. This word beseech reminds you of the word comforter, parakletos. So the beseeching is an encouragement. I want to encourage the body of Christ, Paul says. I need to encourage you. I need to encourage you in a good way, in a positive way, that you would mark them that cause offense or divisions. Point them out. Identify them. Know who they are. Mark them. Mark them which cause divisions. Mark them which are causing offenses in the body of Christ. Identify those people in the body of Christ that are causing divisions, causing offenses. We have two applications of this text. We have a primary application. The primary application is to the local assembly right here. The local assembly that's come into these four walls, or however many we have in this auditorium, this odd-shaped building. This local assembly, that's the primary application. Paul told the church at Rome, to those in the church, look for them. If there's someone in that church that's causing division, teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, identify them, point them out, mark them, know who they are. Now, because of the world we're living in, and even in Paul's day, there was a secondary application. And that secondary application is identifying those who, even outside the walls of Christ, but under the umbrella of Christianity, under this huge umbrella of Christianity, anyone who names the name of Jesus, and that's a large umbrella, under that umbrella, identify them as well. Point them out as well. Know who they are as well. So a primary and a secondary application. Paul said it like this to Titus on the island of Crete. He said, a man that is a heretic, a man that is divisive among you, a man that's causing division among you, a man that's causing heretical doctrine teaching it, he said, after the first and second admonishment, reject. First and second admonishment. You remember that from Matthew chapter 18? If there's an offense, it's one-on-one, right? That's the first admonishment. If that doesn't work, if one-on-one doesn't work, then what does Jesus tell us in verse 15, 16, 17? Go with them two or three. So in this case, if you had a man in the body of Christ or a woman in the body of Christ who is teaching doctrine that's contrary to the Word of God, you would go to them one-on-one and say, hey, brother, you've got to stop teaching this. It's contrary to the Word of God for the following reasons. If that doesn't work, and the man continues to promote this divisive or heretical doctrine, then you are to take two or three to him and say, here it is, right here. Paul says, if that doesn't work, reject him. Reject him. Reject him. Knowing that he that is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Paul said, finishing the verse in verse number 17, look at it with your own Bible, to the doctrine which you have learned, that which is contrary to the teaching that you have learned. So sometimes a person will say to me, preacher, when I come to church, I feel like I'm in a classroom. Amen. That means I did my job to some degree. You're learning. We're supposed to be teaching. There's supposed to be instruction going on. What's the mission of the church? Let's go through two slides for the mission of the church. Number one, the mission of the church is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To proclaim the good news that Christ died for your sins. You don't have to die in your own sins. Your sins can be forgiven and you can be reconciled to God through what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our primary mission. We're to proclaim that gospel. But it doesn't stop there. The Great Commission expands that and says, go you therefore into all the world, teaching them. Teaching them. There's supposed to be a component of teaching that happens in the local New Testament church. Teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now notice verse number 20. Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded. If you come to church week after week in whatever church you've attended in the past, or whatever one you will attend in the future, and you don't find yourself learning, your church is not doing what it's supposed to do. If you don't know more this year than you did last year, if you don't know more this year than you did 2 years ago, then something's broke either on my end, delivering, or your end on learning. But something's clearly broke. Because a Bible-believing, Christ-exalting, gospel-preaching church is supposed to have a component of teaching. So here's our ultimate objective then. We're going to make disciples. We're going to make disciples to the glory of God. That starts with conversion. That starts with sharing the good news so that Chris Bowler can go from being a man on his way to hell to a man who's been born again through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, we're not done with Chris. We're not done at that point. We're not finished. Woo, check the block. He's going to heaven. Don't have to worry about him anymore. No, according to the Great Commission, Chris is to be baptized. And after he's been baptized, he is to be taught the Word of God systematically, deliberately, consistently, so that he moves as a disciple of Christ. No stagnant water. Moving. Moving. Growing. Something's broke in your relationship with the dear Lord Jesus Christ if you don't know more today than you did yesterday and the day before and the week before and the month before and the year before. You are to be learning. We could graph it on a bar graph and you would find, I am more aware of truth this year than I was last year. That's why your boys and girls should be in the Awana program. Because in the Awana program, they're going to be given scripture, and the scripture is going to help them. So as I see it, this is my perspective as the shepherd of this church, one component of this teaching ministry that I have, this making disciples, is to tell you there's wolves out there. There's wolves out there. When you leave these four walls, there's wolves out there. They're out there. They're ready to devour you. They're ready to consume you. Oh, it won't be a physical devourment. It'll be a mental devourment. It'll be a spiritual devourment. Paul said it like this again to Titus on the island of Critique on Crete. He said, Titus, when you're looking for pastors, elders, bishops, overseers of the local churches, make sure the men have these qualifications. Make sure that they hold fast to faithful words as they've been taught. Make sure that they're able to take sound doctrine. Notice, please, look at it, please. Exhort and to convince the gainsayers. First time I said that word about 3 or 4 weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, I said gay slayers. The preachers just wore me out over the gay slayers. It is not gay slayers, it is gainsayers. Now, that's not a word that we use very often. Gainsayers, I don't use that on my daily vocabulary. How many use that on a regular basis? Gainsayers. No, it's a person who contradicts sound doctrine. It's a person who's opposed to sound doctrine. A gainsayer is someone who contradicts what Paul taught, what the apostles taught, what the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a gainsayer. Why does Paul tell us to mark them? Why does Paul tell us to avoid them? Why are we to know who they are? Why are we to know who they are and identify them and avoid them in their ministries? Why? Because of what verse 18 says. These men don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you need to understand the reason they're called wolves in sheep's clothing is they say they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that. They name the name of Jesus. On their ministry, on the television, on the internet, they name the name of Jesus. But Paul said these people do not serve. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own belly. Now, obviously, it's not a physical belly in this sense. It's their carnal appetites. Their carnal appetite for more and more and more. They're never satisfied. They can't make enough money. They can't drive a nice enough car. If they have one plane, they need two planes. If they don't need a plane, they don't have one, they need another one or a first one. They're never satisfied. They serve their carnal appetites. These people use the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to make money. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 7:15. That's a visual. It's very purpose. I want you to get this. Jesus said, beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. Oh yes, when you zip it up, they look like a sheep. And they walk around looking like a sheep, sounding like a sheep. They're going to wear sheep's clothing, carry a sheep's Bible, preach about sheep things, wear a cross around their neck or some type of thing that really says, that must be a godly man. But if you were able to take that zipper and peel it down like that, you would find a wolf. You want a wolf? I'll show you a wolf. Trinity Broadcasting Network is one huge wolf. It's just one huge wolf. Just wolf after wolf after wolf on television all day long, robbing God's people of every single penny they can think of as they live in ungodly homes, 18 and 20 bedroom homes, 10 and 15 bathrooms, $2,000 and $3,000, $4,000 suits, gold everywhere, driving only the best of vehicles, jumping from conference to conference and spending thousands upon thousands of dollars on meals and lodging and all kinds of stuff, just ripping God's people off, fleecing them for all they've got, telling them lies upon lies upon lies. And broke people who barely can afford to make it from week to week are writing checks under some ridiculous prosperity gospel nonsense. Somebody says, well, I feel really uncomfortable right now. I cannot believe that we're calling people out like this. I can't believe that we're identifying television networks. Let's make sure we understand something. If you were in the Sunday night service last week, and if you weren't, you can go and listen to it on sermon audio. Aaron Bashore told us about how shortwave radio was infiltrating Morocco, and that there were Muslims that were listening to Christian shortwave radio and learning about Christ. You need to understand that for every true prophet that's using shortwave radio to get into a country, there is a false prophet that's doing the same thing. You need to understand that for every Christian website that's proclaiming truth, there is a false website that's proclaiming heresy. You need to recognize that God's preachers must identify this for God's people, because they need to wake up to the reality that their people will leave these walls. They will go on a television station. They will flip through channel after channel after channel after channel and be infiltrated with their minds onto false nonsense. So, my responsibility as your pastor, chief disciple maker, if you will, is to make sure that you, as you're flipping channels, can go, wolf, wolf, wolf. And let me say something. When you're on Trinity Broadcasting Network, this is what you do. Wolf unless proven otherwise. Not sheep unless proven otherwise. Wolf. Unless you can see it otherwise. Because that entire ministry is ripping people off. Someone says, "Preacher, I don't agree with this calling out name stuff. I'm uncomfortable with that." You'd be uncomfortable with Paul then too. Because Paul said, "Alexandra." And if you're not sure what Alexandra the coppersmith, that clarifies it. Just in case you weren't sure what Alexandra we're talking about the coppersmith. That's to make sure everybody knows what Alexander we're talking about. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's harsh. Lord, give him what he deserves. That's what he's saying. Notice, please, beware of him. Why? Why do we need to beware of him? For he hath greatly withstood our words. Oh, we're not talking about immorality. We're not talking about unethical conduct. That's not what we're talking about. This is a battle for words. Words matter. Doctrine matters. Truth matters. Any old words doesn't work. Some words are true and some words are false. All words are not equal. All doctrine is not equal. There is false doctrine and there is true gospel doctrine. There's a false gospel and there's a true gospel. Oftentimes you'll hear people talk about a spiritual warfare and you think they're describing demons in the sky. Let me tell you something right now. We are wrestling with worldviews. We are wrestling with proper perspective on Christian doctrine. Verse number 18. And these men now, with their carnal appetites, notice what they do, please. And by good words and fair speeches, what do? They deceive. They slip in. Oh, it sounds good. It sounds great. Oh, they love it. They flip through the channel, watch it on their flat screen. Clever words coming across. Just enough truth so that it sounds good. Enough truth mingled in there so that it seems like, oh, this must be good. And because God's people are simple-minded, naive, have not been properly taught, have not been properly discipled, they fall hook, line, and sinker all the way in. Like a fish that's going after it, has no idea that line's going to take him to a pole, and that pole's going to jerk him out of the water, and he'll never be in there again. No different. No different. Say, "Preacher, why does this happen? Why are they simple-minded?" I'll tell you why they're simple-minded. Because the pastors of the churches that they're in don't feed the people. On Sunday mornings, they don't give them steak. They give them cute little topical sermonettes that make them feel good, and everyone goes out to church with woohoo. You want a plate? We're going to Ryan's. Pack it on there. Add some more on there. Breadcrumbs are falling out. Man, I need a plate full of food this morning. Don't give me a little dish of ice cream. Man, I'll eat the ice cream, but I'm going to have a steak first, a potato, some ice cream, some rolls. We're going to get a good meal. Paul said it like this. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter into." Grievous wolves. Teeth showing. Growling. Going after God's people, taking them down like a wolf tears down a lamb, ripping it apart, limb by limb, and the lamb doesn't stand a chance. You know why the lamb doesn't stand a chance? Because the lamb hasn't been properly taught. The lamb hasn't been properly trained. Say, how do wolves enter in among us today? Through the power of the internet, through the power of FM radio, through the power of a podcast, through the power of satellite television, through the power of cable television, through the power of news networks, through the power of this show and that show. That's how they're entering in among us. They filter into our worldview. They filter into what we hear and what we take in. See, there's no wolves in here. Wolves are after us every single day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. A wolf is after you and your family, ready to tear your family apart and get you to think something different. But preacher, when I leave the church, I want to feel good. When I just don't feel so good, some of these messages, I really don't feel good. I need to feel good. Paul predicted that. Paul said it would come. The time would come, Brother Gary. Paul said the time will come. The time will come where they will heap to themselves teachers to tell them what they want to hear. Give them the cute little messages. Let me tell you all about how your marriage can be better. Let me tell you how to invite this and this and this and this. And you don't even hear the truth of the gospel that your sins have separated you from a holy and righteous God. And he's not okay with you. Because the problem with that message is it doesn't feel very good. It doesn't feel very good that God's not okay with my pornography. That God's not okay with that sin. That's why we're having a conference Friday and Saturday beginning at 7 p.m. Men of Integrity Conference. Every single male that's sitting right there needs to be here unless you're providentially hindered. Which is not Xbox 360. That is not NFL. Providentially hindered means you don't have any choice. God has superimposed a governing authority on your life, and that governing authority is established. You need to be there. Because every single male battles with this issue and that issue, and we want to help you get the victory. But Sunday morning messages are designed to teach and preach God's word to God's people, to equip them to be able to go, wolf, wolf, to know what a wolf is, to know what a wolf says, to know what a wolf smells like, talks like, walks like. But having itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they'll tell them what they want to hear. It's kind of like this. Church has become Burger King. Have it my way. No longer do Christians take out a list of paper and identify all the sound doctrine that they need in their church. They go from church to church to church shopping, and they ask themselves, how did I feel at the end of that sermon? How did I feel at the end of that service? How did I feel after that one? And they rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, and whichever one they felt best at is the one they join. What you need to be asking yourself is, does the preacher preach the word of God? If I don't feel good, why not? But this is where we're at. You have the right to have it exactly as you want it. Because on the menu, you are today's special. And tomorrow's, and the day after that. And well, you get the idea. Yes, that's right. We may be the king, but you're the almighty ruler. And that's where most Christians are at. He might be the king. I mean, I subscribe to that Lord of Lords stuff, but I'm the boss. I'm the boss. I'll call the shots. I'll go to whatever church I feel good at. I want the music to uplift me and encourage me and get me pumped up. And then a cute little sermonette that just tells me how to have a great week, culminating in a little smiley face on the way out. So what constitutes sound doctrine? Let me give you four slides that constitute sound doctrine. You should know this already, but let me remind you. Number one, anything that deals with the triune Godhead. Anything that takes away with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Anything that suggests that God isn't who he is. Anything that suggests that God doesn't have the attributes. Anything that takes away from his sovereignty, his deity. Anything that takes away from who Jesus is. Anything that makes Jesus more than he is or less than he is. Anything that magnifies the Holy Spirit above the other two in the person ahead of the Godhead. Anything that deals with the Trinity is off limits. Off limits. Modify it in any way, shape, or form, and you've just crossed the line. Heresy. Cross the line. No alternatives. Let me just stop for just a second right now. It is not an accident. Let me say that again, please. Listen to me very closely. It is not an accident that Glenn Beck, who is a Mormon, is becoming more and more popular every single day. Let me make sure you clearly understand that Mormonism is out of the pit of hell. Let me make sure that you clearly understand that Joseph Smith is not another prophet. Okay? He is a false teacher. He's dead now. And he knows for sure that he was a false prophet. He's not wondering at this point. And what's happening right now is many Christians are falling hook, line, and sinker after Glenn Beck as he becomes more and more and more popular. Auditoriums where he goes and speaks are filled with, quote, born-again Christians who don't mind the fact that he worships a false god. You say, preacher, he doesn't worship a false god. He does if he doesn't declare that Jesus is the Son of God, who does not have a half-brother. Better watch it. We need to be able to recognize wolves going around, building a following, setting the conditions for a Mormon president, setting the conditions for normalizing the relationship the evangelical church has with Mormonism, setting the conditions for what? A future Antichrist to rise up. And am I saying he is? No, I'm not. I have no clue who he is, but I know that conditions must be sent for the full set, for the full and complete revelation of the Antichrist. And people are falling madly in love with the man because he talks about the almighty dollar. Anything that deals with the Bible. Anything that denies the infallibility, the inspiration, the preservation, the canonization, anything that deals with taking away the 66 canonical books, anything that takes away from God's work in the Hebrew, God's work in the Greek, God's work in the Aramaic, and God's divine preservation into modern languages. Off limits. Anything that deals with who made man. Anything that takes away from God spoke Adam into existence in a millisecond, not over thousands upon thousands of years. Anything that deals with how man was created or who suggests otherwise. Anything that deals with Genesis 1 and 2 is off limits. Anything that deals with man's depravity. Anything that takes away from the fact that I cannot save myself, that I am born dead, in need of regeneration, a gift of God. Anything that suggests I have a divine spark within me, anything that suggests that I'm a pretty decent person is off limits. I was conceived in iniquity. Anything that deals with getting away from man's purpose in life, which is ultimately to glorify King Jesus. And finally, anything that deals with getting rid of gender distinctions or sexual orientation. Anything that gets rid of men were men and women were women, designed to love each other and nothing else. No cross-dressing. Nothing. All off limits. If there's someone out there, mark them and avoid them. And number four, anything that takes away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything at all. Anything that suggests that there's anything but exclusivity in Jesus Christ. Anyone who suggests that there are multiple ways to get to the Father, off limits, mark them heretical. Anything that suggests that there's something you must do, you must believe, have faith. There isn't anything that you've got to do to get saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. His mercy. My faith is in a promise, not in what I've done myself. It's not in baptism, it's not in prayer, it's not in church membership. Anything that takes away from repentant faith alone. Anything at all that teaches that man can be saved by anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Anything that deals with the virgin birth. Anything that deals with the sinless life. Anything that deals with the death, burial, and resurrection, and the full and complete bodily resurrection, 40 days alive, ascending to be the Father, on the right hand, interceding. You touch any of that stuff and it's off limits. You can put a huge open parentheses and closed parentheses around it and mark it off limits. Faith alone, Christ alone, grace alone, to the glory of God alone. All God. And by the way, this morning, if that's not your testimony, put your faith in Christ right now. Amen. Right now, wherever you're sitting right now, put your faith in Christ. See, I've never understood that before. Do it right now. Identify. Identify right now that you're a sinner. Separated from a holy and righteous God and outside of the work of Christ, you have no hope for heaven. And put your faith in Christ right now. What does that mean? Start trusting in Christ right now. Declare right now that in and of yourself, you have no way of saving yourself. And in your own thought process, in your own dependency, it's Christ and Christ alone. You say, can I do that right now? Yes. Yes, sir. You can do that sitting right where you're at. Remember, Berean Baptist Church, the reason we exist is to find pagans and move them to worshipers of the one true God. Pagans. I was born a pagan. Born a heathen. Outside of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who I am, a pagan. Prone to worship myself. An idolater right out of the womb. Inherently selfish. That's idolatry. It's where we worship ourselves more than the Creator. Romans chapter number 1. Jesus said it like this. He said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many are being deceived. So let's go over them. I'm calling them out right now for the body of Christ. Modern gainsayers. Modern gainsayers. Here's my list. Number 1, Roman Catholicism. Why? Because they teach that you must be baptized, you must take a communion, you must do other things to be saved. It's not grace alone. That's the entire Protestant Reformation. That's Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism because they teach that you can pray to Mary. They teach that she's the mother. She's not the mother of God. She was a vessel temporarily used to harbor the God-man. I'm going to call out oneness Pentecostalism. Oneness Pentecostalism because they deny the triune Godhead. We preached an entire 2 messages on that on a Sunday night, and it's on sermon audio. There are local oneness Pentecostal churches in this town that teach that God is not a separate being, a separate person from the Son, that the Son was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, only one. Sin. I'm going to call out Jehovah's Witnesses because Jehovah's Witnesses are false in every way, shape, or form. We spent 3 or 4 weeks on that. Mormonism, same idea. Mormonism teaching that Jesus is a half-brother and all kinds of other mess. Teaching that you can get saved through doing good works. Teaching that there's layers of heaven. Teaching that people can get baptized for dead people. Just on and on and on. You can preach an entire message on that. Now, number 5, let's talk about the Word Faith movement. You remember the Word Faith movement? We did 3 Sunday night messages on the Word Faith movement. These are the guys that say, wallet, be full. These are the ones that teach that the only reason you've got Alzheimer's is because you don't have enough faith to whip it. And if you just had more faith, you could whip it. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. People don't have Alzheimer's because they don't have enough faith. Alzheimer's is a result of the fall of man. It's a consequence of having sin on this earth. It's not a plague. We've got a godly man in our congregation that's battling it. And I don't know of a more godly man. It's not a matter of not enough faith. That's a lie. Not any different than looking at this wallet that's only got a couple dollars and say, be full, be full, be full. Yeah, let me tell you something. You can scream be full to your wallet all day long, but you go get a job if you want to work. Amen. It's ridiculous. Next, the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is the ridiculous teaching that Jesus died on a cross so that your small business could prosper. Jesus died on a cross so that your sins can be forgiven and you can be reconciled to a holy and righteous God who has no tolerance for sin. Amen. Next, baptismal regeneration. I'm going to call out the Church of Christ and any other denomination that tells you you must be baptized in order to be saved. That there's something sanctified about entering those waters. And when you enter those waters, that you in fact get saved by entering those. That's baptismal regeneration. The idea that getting baptized makes you alive again. That's heresy. Heresy. Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. No attitude in any way, shape, or form. No joint effort. Obviously, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement, the agenda that's infiltrating government schools, public libraries, NPR. Yes, I'm calling it out. Bible told me, mark and avoid them. Identify them. Identify them for God's people. Planned Parenthood. Same agenda. Avoid it. Charismatics who teach that speaking tongues gives you an assurance of salvation. Anytime you take salvation and you tag anything with it, it's off limits. It's off limits. Put the parentheses around salvation. We don't add baptism to it. We don't add the sign gifts to it. We don't add anything to it. It's God and God alone.
Right.
We don't add anything to it. It's off limits. Faith. Faith is trusting in a promise. It's relying upon the word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Not and do this and do that. It's just relying on the name of the Lord as your Savior. All right, take us to the next slide while I find that clicker. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2 in case you guys are thinking I'm making a big deal out of something that's not a big deal. Some of you have concluded the preacher's overreacting this morning. Getting hot and bothered about something that's really not that important. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2, please. Listen to the word of God. And these are powerful verses. We could come back and just preach this entire chapter on another day. I just want to read it to you. Get you to enjoy it this morning like I enjoyed it. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Peter writes to us and he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. So from the very beginning, from the days of Noah, there has always been false prophets. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. So there are false teachers alive right now. Look in your own Bible, please. Who privily or privately shall bring in what kind of heresies? Damnable heresies. That language sounds pretty harsh to me, folks. Damnable heresies. It doesn't seem to me like it's kind of okay. You feel like what you want to feel like. I'll feel like I want to feel like. We can kind of agree to disagree. No, no, no. We can agree to disagree on whether Chevy or Ford makes a better truck. We're not going to agree to disagree on whether Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You need to walk away understanding you're wrong and I'm right. Damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them. The very Lord that died on a cross. That atoned for their sins. The Lord that bought them, they deny. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their ways. By reason whom, please notice, look at the next four words in your Bible. The way of truth. Definite article, Dr. Wilson. Definite article, not a way of truth. The way of truth. The way of truth. Not suggesting that there are multiple ways of truth and you can pick your own way and you can pick your own way. There is one way of truth. Definite article, T-H-E. Shall be evil spoken of. And notice, please, look at verse 3. This is so good. You got to see it, please, in your own Bible. And through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Wow, this is good. It is amazing. It's amazing to me that the Apostle Peter looked into the 21st century under the divine inspiration of God the Holy Spirit and said, look forward 2,000 years, there will be people who make merchandise of God's people. Merchandise. Don't miss this. Wake up and hear these words this morning. There are preachers, false prophets, who see you as nothing but merchandise. You are a commodity to be traded on the spiritual Wall Street. And all they do with feigned words. You know what feigned words are? Pretend words. Pretend words. Pretend words. These people are not genuine Christians. They just are telling something, and then they go back in their back room, and they laugh about the stupid Christians. You think I'm exaggerating? It's right here in the Word of God. Make merchandise of you. They don't see you as a soul in need of redemption. They don't see you as sheep in need of a shepherd. They don't cry over their people. They see wallets.
That's right.
They see credit cards. That's all they see. They make merchandise of God's people. It's very clear. And through covetousness. You know what covetousness is, right? It's never satisfied, John.
Covetousness is never satisfied. They got a 12-bedroom house, and they hear about preacher so-and-so that's got a 20-bedroom house, so they covet the 20-bedroom house. And when they get the 20-bedroom house, they covet the fact that they don't have a helicopter. And when they get a helicopter, they covet the fact that they don't have a plane. And when they get a plane, they covet something else. And they never stop coveting. And for them who bring in damnable heresies, you, my dear friend, through the television, through the internet, through whatever mechanism they can reach you, are nothing but merchandise. A commodity to be traded from church to church. For if God, here it comes now, we're going to see for and, here it comes, massive run-on sentence. You got to love it. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, not done, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and seven other people, only eight, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, and, we're not done yet, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto all those things, and, not done yet, only delivered Lot, not done yet. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And reading in verse number 9, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Not done. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of ungodliness and despise government. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall be utterly perish in their own corruptness. My Bible tells me I'm not making too big of a deal of this. My Bible tells me I'm not overreacting. My Bible tells me that it's impossible to talk too strongly about these people who are ripping God's people off. My Bible tells me that God doesn't have any patience for this. My Bible tells me that God has their number. He has their number. Because if the angels didn't get by, and they didn't, and the old world didn't get by, and it didn't, and Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped off the face of the planet, and it didn't, then God knows the day and time that these frauds who are ripping God's people off will get their deserve. All right, next slide, please. Paul says, but your obedience has come abroad unto all men, I'm glad thereof. Paul's concerned, yet I would you be wise about that which is good and simple. Paul's concerned about these new converts that are open to anything. He said, I appreciate the fact that you've got a passion to be obedient, but be careful. Be careful. What happened, Art? All right, let's wrap it up. You need some encouragement? I do. I need some encouragement. Could you use some encouragement this morning? Raise your hand if you could use some encouragement after hearing about all these false prophets. And yeah, me too. Don't put it up, Art. Don't worry about it. I got it. I'm going to give you some encouragement. I'm going to give you some legitimate encouragement that you can take out the door right now, that you can carry with you. I want you to look at verse number 20 in your Bible. I'm going all the way back to Romans. I'm finishing up with this one little sentence right here. Please look at it in your own Bible since I can't get it on the screen. Romans chapter 16, verse number 20. I don't want to tell it to you until you see it in your own Bible. There's a promise there, and you got to see it, and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 16, verse number 20. You need some encouragement about these false prophets, about these to avoid? I do. Need some encouragement about the future of America? I do. Could you use some encouraging words? I could. But I want to give you good encouragement. I want to give you godly encouragement. Let me give it to you with Paul's words instead of my own words. Look at verse number 20 with the conjunction and. Oh, glory to God. And the God of peace. He's got a plan. Look at your Bible, please. Look at your Bible. The God of peace shall do what? Shall bruise Satan. Bruising Satan reminds me of Genesis 3:15, where there's a promise. There's a promise that the head will be bruised. But bruise, they might not give us the strong enough words here. Sometimes a bruise, Dave, is a little small mark. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about JR a lot more than bruise. It's kind of like the what you do with a cockroach. Come on, you've been there before. Ever kill a cockroach before? You go over that thing with a passion. And some of you got those pointed boots. What do they call those boots? You know, where you can get in the corners real good. And you see that cockroach, and it's you and the cockroach, and he's not going to make it. And you chasing that cockroach down, and he's moving, scurrying as fast as can be, and you find him, and then wham! And there it is, guts, and nothing's left of that cockroach. That's what God's going to do to Satan someday. Amen. Amen. You can be encouraged on that. You can be encouraged on that. You can be encouraged that he's going to scurry away, but there's no way he can get away. You can be encouraged that God's got the best cowboy boots on the world, and there isn't a single corner that he can't get to. You can be encouraged in the fact that Alzheimer's is not going to go on into eternity. You can be encouraged that arthritis is not going into eternity. You can be encouraged that lust is not going into eternity. You can be encouraged that divorce is not going into eternity. You can be encouraged that there's not a false prophet in heaven. You can be encouraged that there won't be a political party in heaven. You can be encouraged that Fox News won't be in heaven. You can be encouraged. You can be encouraged that the God of peace will crush Satan. Shortly. You're in a miserable marriage. You're in a miserable marriage and you're enduring through this. Be encouraged. You won't be in that miserable marriage in heaven. Be encouraged. You're losing it every day. Be encouraged. You're going to get a new mind in heaven. Your knees hurt like mine do when I run. I'm doing this March Madness running. Yes, be encouraged. You're getting some new knees. Algebra makes your head hurt, mine too. Be encouraged. No algebra in heaven. Yeah. Are we making light of something? No. No, we're looking forward to a glorious time. Now, there might be algebra, but if there's algebra, we're all going to get it. We're all going to get it. Yeah. We need some encouragement. We need some encouragement. Dysfunctional families, and either you were one in, you're in one now, or you're going to be in one. I mean, that's kind of all of us, right? You were one in, you're in now, or you're going to be one. We're all dysfunctional to some sense. There's some encouragement out there. There's no dysfunctional families in heaven. Let's pray. Do you this morning, right now, need to put your faith in Christ?